The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Palmore. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verses 30 through 33, where the Bible says this: "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we," watch what it says, "what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whithersoever," it says, "shall we be clothed." He said, look, these things we ought not even to take thought of. Now, what's he naming there? He's naming the food, he's naming the drink, and he's naming the clothing. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, he named us, didn't he? The Bible says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, there it is again, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I want to speak this morning on I need help with worry. I've heard so many people say that. They've come to me and they said, preacher, I need some help. And I say, well, what do you need? And they say, well, I just need help with worry. It just seems like I worry all the time, or I'm worrying about this, that, or the other. Here's some statements that somebody gave about worry. Blessed is the man that's too busy to worry in the daytime, for he will be too sleepy to worry at night. Isn't it true? Somebody said this: today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. That's a little bit deeper. Somebody said this: the only place for a perpetual worry and the only place that it will get you is an entry card into the cemetery. Somebody said this: worry affects your total being. Now, by the way, it is something that affects you. I've seen people that worry that have health-related problems. I've seen people that worry themselves into old age quick. I've seen people that have a life that's constantly full of worry. Before you know it, they begin to age so very rapidly. Somebody said most of the things that we worry about never come to pass. Here's the top 10 that's here in the United States concerning worry. And somebody has listed them. Health and physical condition is a worry. The lack of family time is a worry. The lack of leisure time is a worry. Problems with your children is a worry. Personal investments sometimes can be a worry. Real estate planning can be a worry. Relationship with others can be a worry. People worry about aging. They worry about the level of their income, and they worry about their marriages. Here's some facts. That which is Mayo Clinic claims that 80 to 85% of all the cases that they diagnose and treat is because of anxiety and worry. One expert put it this way: if we could learn to take care of stress, we would have no worry. One of the leading physicians stated this, that in his opinion, 70% of all medical patients that he has seen in his lifetime of practicing for 30 years is because of worry. They say that 25 million Americans have high blood pressure because of stress and anxiety. 1 million develop high blood pressure every single year, added to that number. 8 million people develop stomach ulcers that come and go within one given year. Every week, there are 112 million people that take medicine related to that which is stress and worry. Some people have so much worry that is piled upon them that they continually visit the doctor thinking that the worry that has caused stress is causing a heart attack. So can I say there is reasons for people to worry? You know, let me just pick out a couple of these and let me just give some attention to it. We worry because of the hardships in life. Now, I read some of those hardships just a moment ago. And so we worry because of the hardships in life. But can I tell you, sometimes God allows, I said, God allows hardships in our life to be able to teach us lessons that we would learn no other way. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in order to bring more fruit, God promises this, that he's going to bring purging in your life. Now, that's a biblical principle, all right? So if God is going to use you to bring forth more fruit, then you can pretty well expect it. There's going to be purging that comes in your life. You cannot have more fruit without purging. Okay, so there's going to be purging that. Don't get mad at God. Don't go to God and say, well, this is just not fair. You don't know who I am. He knows exactly who you are, and he knows exactly who I am. And because of that, he says, I am giving you the privilege to go through purging. Okay, oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm serving God, and I'm living for God, and I should never get sick. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm living for God, and I'm serving the God that created the universe, and I should never have to visit the doctor, never have to go to the dentist. Well, you live in a different world than I live in, because I also serve God, and I have to go to the dentist, and I have to go to the doctor, and I have to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and I have to be able to do this, and I have to be able to do that. Now, I'm telling you, listen to me this morning, understand that sometimes we do go through hardships, and those hardships ought not to cause you to worry. Those hardships ought to be given to the Lord, and by the way, trust him. Trust him. You say, but you don't understand, preacher. God just doesn't know. Do you just realize what you just said? I mean, God knows all things. God knows every hair that's on your head. God knows every worry that's in your heart. God knows every problem that you're going to face. God knows every implication that's going to come your way. God is God. He's the one that knows the things that are relative, those things that are related, those things that are real. He's the one that knows what you're facing that is reality. And he's also the very God that knows the things that's the secrets of the heart, the hidden things of the life. He is God. Now, may I say, because of the hardships of life, sometimes people worry. Another statement, because of the uncertainties of the future. Now, somebody said, well, if I could just know the future, I would not worry. Oh, yes, you would. You know, if you knew the very spot in which you were going to die, you would worry that you would step in that spot too early. You would worry. I mean, preacher, if I just knew the future, I wouldn't worry. What about trusting God? By the way, if you can trust God for your salvation and you can trust God for the present, can you not also trust God for the future? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? And tomorrow is the future. What about trust? Well, you know, preacher, you understand, I'm getting old and I just don't know what to do. Well, the same God that you trusted in your youth, dear friend, is the same God that can deliver you and help you in your old age. Oh, but preacher, I cannot remember the way that I used to be able to remember things, but that's okay, because the same God that created you with a young mind is the same God that has given you the privilege to be able to have an old mind. You know, and if you can trust him with your young mind, then you can trust him with your old mind. Oh, but preacher, my wife and I, you know, we're going through our senior years together, and we just don't get along like we used to get along physically. We're having problems. You used the word a few moments ago, implications, and that's what we are. We're totally implicated. Can I tell you, listen, the same God that helped you to learn how to walk as a little infant, to take those little baby steps and fall down and get up and fall down and get up, is the same God that can help you to take those infant steps again in old age and fall down and get up and fall down. Now, it might take you longer to get up, but fall down and get up. And I'm saying this. I'm saying because we don't know the certainties of the future, we worry. What's going to happen to us in old age? What's going to happen when I graduate from an academy or a high school? What's going to happen when I graduate from a Bible college or from a public university? Oh, what's going to happen when I finally do find the one that God has for me? What's going to happen when I get married? What's going to happen when we have our first child? What's going to happen when we have our second child? What's going to happen when we have our third child? What's going to happen when we have our fourth child? What's going to happen when we have our fifth child? What's going to happen when we have our sixth child? What's going to happen when we have our 21st child? What's going to happen? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. The more children you have, the more you need to trust God. Why? Because you will worry. I'm saying that because of the uncertainty of the future, we worry about stuff. Well, what if my car breaks down? Well, dear friend, if it hadn't broke down yet, why spend time worrying on your car breaking down? Well, what if I can't get up tomorrow morning? But if you got up this morning, thank God for it. And you're here this morning, thank God for it. I'm saying we worry because of that which is the future. Statement number next. We worry over things we cannot control. Now, my dear daddy told me this many years ago before he ever received Christ as Savior. He said, Mike, only worry over the things that you can control. Now, he didn't know that we're not supposed to worry at all because worry is sin. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, he didn't know that. He wasn't a saved man. But he did say this. He said, don't worry over things you cannot control. All right, what's he saying? If you can't touch it and you can't steer it and you cannot guide it and you cannot control it, then don't worry about it. Well, what if my mom and daddy make a wrong decision? Won't be the first time. Well, what if my child, when he gets older, leaves the house, makes a wrong decision? That's called training ground. You know, sometimes you just have to trust God. Sometimes you've got to get out of control to put God in control so that things will become under control. Now, I'm saying this because we're not in control. Well, you know, I would like to be able to guide my future. I'd like to be. What are you going to do when all of a sudden you try and guide your future and you get a bad diagnosis? What are you going to do? You try and guide your future and somebody rams in the side of your car that you did not expect. What are you going to do? All of a sudden you try to guide your future and all of a sudden all the money that you put in the stock market or some other type of market, it goes flat and you lose every penny that's a part of your savings program for retirement. What are you going to do? All of a sudden, when your wife now becomes cantankerous or your husband becomes cantankerous, what are you going to do? All of a sudden, when the roof begins to leak and you don't have the money saved up in an emergency plan to be able to repair it, what are you going to do? If all of a sudden you get a neighbor that has animals and they come over and they dig up the front of your yard, what are you going to do? You say, I shoot the animals. Well, what are you going to do? I'm saying this. I'm saying that you don't need to worry about things that is out of your control. We worry and worry and worry. Well, I don't know if mommy and daddy can do this. Well, I don't know if brother and sister can do this. Well, I don't know if aunt and uncle can do this. Well, I don't know if grandpa and grandma can do that. I don't know if great grandpa and great grandma can do this. I just don't know if President Obama can pull it off, or President Trump can pull it off, or President next one can pull it off. And you ask questions about this and question, hey, if you can't control it, you give it to God. You put it in God's hands. You walk away from it. You say, let God be God. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying because of the hardships of life, we worry. Because of the uncertainties of the future, we worry. Because of things that we cannot control, we worry. Now, let me give you some solutions. It's good to have solutions. What if I was to end it right there? Woo! You say, I went to Parkside Baptist Church. What did you learn today? Preacher taught us all how to worry. You go out and you tell that, and somebody says, well, I'm not going to go to that church because, you see, nobody wants to know how to worry. They want the solutions of how not to worry. So while you're worrying about the solutions that I'm getting ready to talk about, let me give them to you. Take and go back in your Bible, and let's give Bible antidotes this morning. Look at it again, if you will. We're in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Where the Bible says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now, does that mean that he knows your need before you ever come to him? Does that mean that he knows that we're a needy people before we ever step out and come to him? Does that mean that God knows us? The Bible says now, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore, it says, no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. The Bible says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me give you just some thoughts here. Statement number one, recognize that worry accomplishes nothing. Recognize that worry accomplishes nothing. Oh, here's an old boy, and he begins to worry, and evidence of his worry is that he's always taking his fingers and putting them in his mouth, and he begins to chew, and he begins to chew, and he begins to chew, and he chews them down to the nubs. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. What did that do? That did nothing except shorten his fingernails. It didn't solve a problem. Here's a person that says, I'm worrying, and he gets mad. He gets angry with his worry. And so he goes around and he punches a door here and he punches a wall here and he gets mad and he goes out and he beats on the hood of his truck and he gets so mad that he viciously drives down one of the highways, speeding around people, causing great friction and possibly danger to other people's lives. And what did it do? What did it accomplish? Somebody begins to worry and somebody bothers them, and so they take it upon themselves to change the Bible. And where the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Oh, but they say, no, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to be God. I'm going to take vengeance out on them. They had no right to say that about me on Facebook. Therefore, vengeance is mine, saith me, I will repay. So they begin to tear them up with vicious words and cut them here and cut them there and stab them there and stab them here and correct them. By the way, if all you're doing is using the media to be able to hurt somebody else, even though they have hurt you, can I tell you, you're not mature enough to have it. I'll say it again. You're not mature enough to have it. Get rid of it. It's hurting your spirit. It's hurting the way that you're having to develop friendships. You say, I can handle. Okay, let me ask you something. When somebody says something about you on some of that social media stuff, how are you handling it? Does it affect your spirit? Does it make you mad? Do you walk away praising Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a friend I've got to tell me the truth. I've got a friend like the friend of Job. Do you thank God for them that way? Or do you want to lash out at them? You want to cut them up. You want to talk bad about them. I submit to you this morning, some of the social media stuff that's out there today is ruining the spirit of God's people. Amen. Now, I think it's good to use for his purpose. And I think it's good to use, if you're not going to use it, to hurt anybody, but talk about how good God has been for you and what God has done in your life, and talk about your family and positive, and about your friends positive. But if you one time use it to be able to destroy somebody else or hurt somebody else's character, dear friend, it's about time you retire. That was free. What do? I recognize that worry accomplishes nothing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, the Bible says, which of you, it says, by taking thought can add one cubit onto his stature? He said, go ahead and worry about it. Is that really going to build you? Go ahead and worry about it. Is that really going to help you? It doesn't help you at all. Learn to give things to God. Learn to be able to ask God to help. And then trust him. Statement number next. I said this. What is the solution? Statement one, I said, recognize that worry accomplishes nothing. Statement number next. Understand that God cares about you. Amen. He does. Amen. Come on. All right. All of a sudden, preacher gets done preaching. By the way, it doesn't matter if it's a good one or a bad one. God's word will not return void. Amen. Oh, you say, I went to church today, and sometimes preacher is funny, and he wasn't funny today, and I was highly disappointed. Oh, you don't come for the preacher, and you don't come for a joke, and you don't come for a ha-ha. You ought to come because the Word of God abideth forever. You know, I eat breakfast every morning. Thank God. Woo! Now, there are some breakfasts I like better than other breakfasts. Because we might be out of storage of something. Now watch this if you will. But I'm still going to eat breakfast. Mm-hmm. My stature can prove I still eat breakfast. Now looky here. In just a little bit, now some of you spiritual giants are going to go home. You're not going to eat lunch. God bless you. You're going to go home and you're going to pray and you're going to fast all day. And God bless you. Pray that God will give your preacher God's power. I love you. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just being real. But I'm going to go eat lunch. Now, there's a time when I'm going to pray, and there's a time when I'm going to fast. But, dear beloved friend, I'm going to go eat lunch today. Amen. Say, preacher, I'd like to take you out. Good, you pay, and I'll come. But now, wait, watch this. I'm going to go eat lunch. Now, it might be that something doesn't taste all that good, Brother Crutcher. It might be that I take a little bit of a bite, and ooh, it don't taste all that good. I'm not going to crucify that restaurant just on one time. I'm going to give them another chance. Stay with me. I'm going to give them another chance. See, I don't go shopping at Walmart and all of a sudden I get a bad person working at the register and all of a sudden they had a bad day. And I say, that's it. That is it. I'm never going back to Walmart again. By the way, most of you could not live without Walmart. You're hooked into God and Walmart, and that's it. But you know, just to be honest, I've heard people say, that's it. I'm not going to go back to Walmart. That's it. And they don't go because one person was an idiot. Now, don't be shocked, but we got idiots in the Baptist churches. Hello? And all of a sudden you come to church and somebody don't shake your hand. Somebody didn't wear deodorant and they did shake your hand. You know, somebody said, somebody cackled out loud and you thought that was disrespectful in the house of God. You know, You know, and all of a sudden you get offended. You get a burr under your saddle. You say, well, I'm not going to go back there because, now wait a minute. If you don't treat Walmart that way, you ought not treat the house of God that way. Amen. Look, I'm not going to come to church for him, though I like him. I'm not going to come to church for him, though he's blood kin. I like his singing, but I'm not going to come to church just because I like his singing. Sometimes I like him, but I'm not going to come to church just because sometimes I like him. I'm going to come to church because I love him. Amen. Look, I'm going to come to church when the preacher's hot and when the preacher's not. I'm going to come to church when the preacher is just standing behind the pulpit because he doesn't feel well and his fever's way up there, which it's not. And I'm going to come to church when all of a sudden the preacher's walking the pews and spitting on the first three rows. I'm not coming to church because the preacher. Hey, I'm coming to church because God liveth. I'm coming to church because I love God. I'm coming to church, why? Because there was a day I received Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. I'm born again. Name's written in the book of life. And I can tell you what, friend, I'm happy about it. I'm saying this morning. Recognize that worrying accomplishes nothing. Statement number two, understand that God cares about you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. The Bible says, behold the fowls of the air. It says, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. The Bible says, are ye not much better than they? He says, think about those little sparrows. He said, God takes care of them, and yet you are created in his image. And you don't think that God cares more about you than he cares about those sparrows? Look at it, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28. The Bible says, and why take ye thought? It says, for your raiment. It says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not. It says, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it says, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? He said, if God took care of those lilies in the field, if God clothed the field, if God cared about the sparrows, does not God care more about you? Now, I'm saying this morning, please listen to me. I'm saying solutions to worry is recognize that your worrying accomplishes nothing. Statement number next, understand that God cares for you. Statement number next, put first things first in your life. Amen. By the way, we already saw that worry is not supposed to be a part of it, so I guess that ought not be first. Amen. Well, I'm just going to sit around and worry, and I'm going to figure it out. Sometimes, dear beloved friend, you're not supposed to figure it out. Sometimes you're supposed to go to an almighty God that's already got it figured out. You're supposed to put your trust in him. You're supposed to allow him to be the one that will help you and to guide you and to show you exactly what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, and how you're supposed to do it. Oh, stop your worrying. You're going to worry yourself into an early grave. Well, I worry about my kids, and all of a sudden your kids get grown. Now I've got to worry about my grandkids, and all of a sudden your grandkids get grown. Now I've got to worry about my great-grandkids, and all of a sudden your great-grandkids get grown. Now wait a minute. Somewhere you got to plug in. Somewhere you got to find that God is real. Somewhere you got to find that God cares more about you than you care about your stinking self. You've got to realize that God loves you, and he's there for you. He'll help you. Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand. And you're right. And I don't have to. Oh, but preacher, you should be the one. No. Don't replace me. In spite of relying on the Lord, don't put me in his place. Well, I'll just go to the preacher and I'll get all the answers. First off, preacher, don't have all the answers. I'm a man that's got human flesh just like you do. Now, I might know the book a little bit better because that's what I do. And I can give you principle. And I can help you and guide you. But when it comes to answering your prayer, there's only one. And that one is God. Amen. But you don't understand. God's not answering it according to my time. That's because he's God. Amen. He'll answer it according to his time. Your job is to be patient and wait. My job is to be patient and wait. I'm not supposed to outrun the Lord. Well, we got boys and girls in this church. They all praying so much. We have, I guess, about 70 or 80 workers in the other building this morning, and some of them are single. And boy, they're praying. Oh, dear God, send me a woman. God, send me a woman. Now, I'll say this, even though some of them are not present, but you better be careful what you pray for. God just might send you a woman and that's it. Then all of a sudden you get her and oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. You're wondering how to escape out of the field because she's coming after you. You be careful what you pray for. I relate to you in my Bible college days and I prayed. My brother gave me a 12-speed bike. I worked at UPS. I worked there at night. I was a guard over the trucks, and I'd go around and check all the things there. It was a good job because they paid me, and I could carry through my 5 cards around, and I would study as I would work. And they didn't mind if I did that as long as I got my work done. And so I didn't cheat them, but I was able to concentrate and memorize many, many verses. But I also started my own business. I started tip-top window washing business. It's still there in that city today, and Joe Schrock is still running that business. And so we started that business. And can I tell you, I had that 12-speed bike. I'd ride that bike down to UPS. My brother gave me that bike. I'd ride that bike everywhere I could. And then I started praying. Everybody else had a car. I didn't have a car. So I said, dear God, please give me a car. I got what I asked for. God gave me a car. I drove that thing for 6 months and the motor blew up. Oh, I was just so frustrated. I said, God, you gave me a card. Holy Spirit of God sweetly spoke to my heart and said, He gave you what you asked for. So I prayed again. I said, Dear God, thank you so much for the vehicle. But I'm a college kid. I don't have money to replace a motor. I'm barely making it through school. So God, would you give me another car that the motor is sound and will not blow up? He did. Lester Roloff was preaching a stewardship banquet that we had, and Joe West came up to me. And Joe came up to me. No, I'm sorry. There was another car he gave to me before that. And the transmission blew up on that one. And it was a year I had that one. And I prayed again. That's my second car in college. Some of these kids come to Bible college here and say, I don't have a car. Maybe you need to pray to the same God I had. But I prayed and God gave me a car, a second car. Had two cars given to me in Bible college. And the second one had a good motor, but the transmission blew up one about 12 months after it blew up or messed up. I just didn't have the money. So I said, God, I give it back to you. I don't have the money to replace the transmission. But God, I'm coming to you and I'm praying now. God, please give me a car that the motor works. Give me a car that transmission works. And he did. And that was when Joe West gave me his car. Never forget it. Lester Roloff was preaching. Joe came up to me. Joe had six kids. He had a Plymouth Duster jacked up in the back, red stripes down or orange stripes down the side. It was blue and had leather seats. Man, I tell you, it looked like a hot rod of the day. He came up to me and he said, hey, God spoke to my heart about giving you my car. I said, Joe, I can't take your car. You got six kids and a wife. I don't have nobody. And I can't take your car. He said, you got to take my car. I said, I can't take your car. I refuse to take your car. He said, if you don't take my car, God's not going to give me another one. And you're going to stop God from blessing my family. Don't you love my family? I said, well, sure, I love your family. He said, take my car. He said, if you want me to, he said, I'll pay your gas, but take my car. I said, Joe, he said, take my car. He said, God spoke to my heart. You've got to take it tonight or God's not going to bless me. Take my car. He gave me the keys. I took them. I thought, dear God, help Joe. Next day, I was telling a friend of mine, his name was Mike Ham. His daddy owned Jerry Ham Chevrolet. I was telling Mike about the blessing, and all of a sudden, Jerry, that owned Jerry Ham Chevrolet, was so impressed with that that he called up Joe and he said, come over here. I heard you gave your car away. He said, I'd like for you to pick out whatever you want off the lot. And he said, I'd like to be able to give it to you. Amen. See, what you ought to do is you ought to be looking for ways to give your car away. He gave me that vehicle. And man, I was driving that thing. I was Mr. Somebody. Yeah. I mean, I was somebody. I was driving that thing around. All of a sudden, that brake, I was going over to see Sylvia. We were dating at the time. That brake pedal propelled up underneath that steering column. I couldn't find the brake anywhere. Brother Lapp, I was searching, and I could not find. It propelled all the way up underneath that steering column. I couldn't find the brake. I ran through a stop sign. I hit a Cadillac broadside. I went through a man's fence, and I climbed his tree. Totaled that thing. And I thought, oh, my. God was so good to me. He gave me this, that dear brother gave it to me sacrificially. Here, it doesn't ruin the thing, totaled the thing. And then I had a dear brother that felt led of the Lord in God's will to sue me because I hit his Cadillac. By the way, you're not supposed to sue a brother. But anyway, I got him paid off finally. And that's when I learned not to take liability, insurance only. And then here I was. I prayed, dear God, oh, God of heaven. Oh, you know, I've been bringing visitors to church. You know that. You know, I'm serving you. I'm giving you my best. I don't have the money to buy a car. Oh, God, please give me a car where the motor works and the transmission works and the brake does not propel up underneath the steering column. God, please. He did. My brother-in-law gave me the ugliest car you ever seen in your life. We drove that even to New York City. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, understand that you have a God in heaven that cares about you. Amen. He really does. He's a God that can answer your prayer. He's a God specifically can come through if you ask him. But he's going to do it his way and in his timing. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Statement number one, what do I do to resolve my problem with worry? I recognize that worry accomplishes nothing. I understand that God cares about me. I put the first things first. Let me give you this, and I'm done. And that is, I transfer my total trust to him. I transfer my total trust to him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the last verses I'll read, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, the Bible says, with thanksgiving, let me read it again, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now watch this, what happens when that takes place? Now, by the way, here's what he says. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. He says, but in everything. So you're not supposed to worry about anything, but in everything, you're supposed to do something. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You break your arm. Dear God, thank you so much for my broken arm. That's called with thanksgiving. The Bible says here, let your request, that's all of them, that's the big ones, that's the moderate ones, and that's the small ones. Let your request be made known unto God. You somebody already knows them. You're supposed to do your part. The Bible says, now watch what happens, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do I have peace? Every little thing that worries me, I don't take it. I simply go to God and say, God, help me with this. Yes. All right, stand up, Brother Crutcher, please help me, if you will. You come back here and get behind me. You, right here. Yeah, you. All right, so I have worry that always tries to get on me. So what do? I go to God and I say, God, please help me with this worry. So God helps me. Now, by the way, he might not take, listen to me, right. He might not take your worry away, especially if you're trying to keep it. But if I'm trusting in him a lot, I don't feel this.
Right.
Now, if I was a smaller man, I could better illustrate this by jumping into his arms and he would carry me across the platform. But if I did that, knowing the state of the man that's now holding my left hand, we would both collapse. See, you have financial problems. It might be God's will that you have financial problems, but it is not God's will that you worry about your financial problems. You might be having health problems. It might be God's will you have your health problems, but it is not God's will you worry about your health problems. So I go to God and say, Dear Father, I've got health problems, or I got financial problems, or I got relationship problems. And God, those things may stay with me, but I'm not supposed to turn and embrace them. I love my problem. No. I might have to carry it with me all the days of my life, but I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier if I get God to help me. You say, preacher, this is ridiculous. Yeah, you think it's ridiculous because you're not trusting God. But that's exactly how God wants you to live your life. Now, let's do this. Let's decide that we're not going to take the worry and shoulder it by ourselves. Let's decide to do it the Bible way. By the way, you'll live maybe healthier, happier, and cause more harmony than headaches. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you so much for a Bible truth.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.